As a young adult, finding the right path to your future can feel overwhelming. It starts with YearUp United's tuition-free job training program, Career Pathways. If you're without a bachelor's degree but have a high school diploma or GED, you can get skills-first training to succeed in the industries you're passionate about, all while earning a weekly educational stipend to offset basic expenses. From there, you'll have access to internships and hands-on experiences with Fortune 500 companies. And with YearUp United's job placement services and personalized coaching and mentorship, you can put your knowledge, skills, and most importantly, confidence into practice. Apply to YearUp United today and take the first step toward achieving the career you want. Visit YearUp.org to learn more.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
It's just going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Big week for you here on Fantasy Football Today. It's Adam, Dave, and Jamie here on Tuesday, August 11th, and it's Sleepers, Breakouts, and Bust Week. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we have four Breakouts episodes, and we have three awesome guests joining us, Jake Seeley, Chris Harris, JJ Zachariasen, although I think I might be pronouncing that wrong. Might be Zachariasen. Zachariasen, we got to ask him.
Zachariasen?
Not that. It's definitely not Zachariasen.
Did he recently move to New Orleans?
Yeah. ZZ Zachariasen.
He tweeted about it.
Did he recently move to New Orleans?
Yes, exactly.
That's kind of a joke that is, yes.
But today is Sleepers Day. So these are picks, basically after pick 100. We'll use CBS ADP today. Here are some fun facts about Dave, Jamie, and Heath sleepers. Heath not on the show today, but still we'll talk about a couple of his sleepers. Fun fact number one, four of Jamie's sleepers that he gave, you know, these aren't all of his sleepers, but I asked them to give me a list of about six or seven. Four of Jamie's six sleepers start with the letter J, but one of them, that's pretty narcissistic if you ask me, but one of them is not Jacory Kroski-Merritt. That is Dave's sleeper. Washington has produced 18 and 15 running back rushing touchdowns in the last two seasons, fifth most in the NFL. However, they've been 26th and 32nd in running back targets the last two seasons. Okay, next fact. Four of Jamie's six sleepers start with the letter J, but one of them is not Jared Goff. That's one of Heath's sleepers. Now, by the way, I think Jamie probably agrees on the other ones, but Heath's list has Jared Goff on it. He has been top 14 per game, four straight seasons, top 10 per game, two straight seasons, and yet he's quarterback 16 in ADP, and he has one cold weather game. How about that, Dave?
How many games does he have?
How many outdoor games does Jared Goff have? Great question. Do you know?
Do you know the answer?
Cheating. Why are you cheating?
Oh, I'm looking it up. I don't know.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. What's the answer? Do you know?
I do.
At Buffalo, at Carolina, at Miami. I got four. Yeah. And at Chicago.
There will be five.
No, because Green Bay.
You're not counting week 18.
Yeah, Green Bay's week 18.
There will be five in the first 17 weeks of the season.
Was Arizona outdoors?
No, a game in Munich.
Oh, come on, Jamie. Doesn't even count. Four of Jamie's six sleepers start with the letter J, and one of them is Jalen Coker, who scored 14 or more PPR fantasy points in four of his last six games, including the postseason. He scored 28.4 in the playoff game. He out-targeted Tedrell McMillan in those six games, Jalen Coker. Dave, one of your sleepers is Bo Nix. He's been top 13 per game in both of his seasons, and yet he's QB 17 in ADP. Make sense of it, Dave Richard.
I think people see a lot of other quarterbacks that have more upside and appeal than Bo Nix, but they're kind of forgetting about the appeal that Nix has in that he's still a running quarterback. I don't think that the fracture that he suffered in the playoffs last year is going to slow him down. He's got an improved receiving core. Not only did they bring in Jalen Waddle, but Pat Bryant has started making some waves. There are huge question marks about the run game. Yes, they're going to have somebody available to run the football for them in every game because they restock their running back room, but it's not necessarily a great running back room. I think a lot of this will fall on Bo Nix. Hopefully he takes a step forward in terms of efficiency, and he's one of several quarterbacks that you can draft late and get good value from.
Do you target Bo Nix, or do you just say, all right, quarterback didn't work out the way I planned. Let's go to Bo Nix.
That's the latter.
Yeah. Which is okay.
Of course it's okay. It's
been good.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Great.
More sleepers here. Jaden Reed is one of the J's for Jamie. Since entering the NFL in 2023, Jaden Reed is second among wide receivers in fantasy points per target. And that does not even include his rushing totals, which over 100 yards in each of his first two seasons. Not a lot last year, though. By the way, can you name the wide receiver who he's going into his third year now, leads the NFL, leads all wide receivers in fantasy points per target, doesn't have a ton of targets, and his name also begins with J. And he was briefly a sleeper for me. That's cool. I'll still call him. It's Jalen McMillan, but not really a lot of targets. No. Travis Kelce is one of Heath's sleepers, at least according to his first sleepers article. And he was top five tight end with Patrick Mahomes in 2025. He's tight end 12 in ADP. You guys agree Kelce a sleeper?
Of course.
Yeah. Value's too good.
And then Josh Downs. I don't know if he's one of the guys Dave submitted on his list today, but I don't know if he's just, you know, our sleeper, like the FFT sleeper. We love Josh Downs. The fun fact I have on him is actually a little discouraging because he's had stretches of all three of his NFL seasons where he's played he's run 76% or more of the routes, and he's only been good in 2024. He wasn't good in 2025 or 2023, but he didn't have Daniel Jones in those games in 2025. I think it's pretty irrelevant. We like Josh Downs. He has a great opportunity. And by the way, Alec Pierce, turns out he had a second PRP injection on his injured ankle. All right. Let me get two sleepers that you love. We'll do a couple of sleepers here. We did a few there, but we'll get more in depth on them. Let me get a couple that you love. We'll also talk about the news and notes because you're going, what? Chargers, three running backs every week, ride the hot hand? What's that all about? J.K. Dobbins? J.K. Dobbins and Christian McCaffrey missing practice? What? That's weird. We'll talk about all that. But Jamie, give me two sleepers that you love right now.
Two sleepers that I love right now. I'll go with one with the letter J, which would be that you haven't mentioned yet, Jordan Mason. And the other, which would be Malik Willis. So Jordan Mason at running back, Malik Willis at quarterback. You'd like me to go in depth on
yes,
those two?
Yes.
Well, for Mason, seems like he's going to be the running downs guy for the Vikings. So the starting running back, at least based on the reports we're getting out of Minnesota. And I think there's an opportunity for him to be better just because the offense will be better. The offensive environment should be better because of Kyler Murray. So I think there's an opportunity for more touchdowns. He's 27. Aaron Jones is going to be 32. Claiborne, who's also getting some positive reviews, a sixth-round rookie. I don't know how much he'll cut into Mason and Jones's workload, but it's something to keep an eye on there. I just think based on the value that you're getting, plus the opportunity if there is an injury for Aaron Jones, as we saw last year, in the time that Jones missed, I believe it was five games, he averaged over 13 PPR points per game, so that would make him a number two running back if that's the case. You're getting him basically as a flex, in some cases maybe a number four running back. So I just think it's easy to target somebody like this. Now, the downside is he's got 28 career receptions in four seasons, so I don't think he's going to help you in that regard. But if the offense is better and he's going to be the starter, I think there's just a chance when you look at him, similar probably to like Dave's going to say about Kroski Merritt, like this isn't going to be a guy that's going to help you in terms of pass-catching ability. But touchdowns and rushing yards for the value that you're getting, I think, is very good. And then for Malik Willis, I think it comes down to how much are you going to buy into his rushing, because that's what's going to really make or break, I think, his fantasy production. He has looked good throwing the ball, according to reports. I don't know how much of that is the Miami defense, but he has been doing a good job, you know, finding Caleb Douglas. Sorry. Finding Caleb Douglas, finding the guys that are, you know, at least performing for him right now. Hopefully this receiving corps continues to evolve and grow. But if you take his games where he played at least 64% of the snaps, he rushed for at least 40 yards per game on average in those games. And only eight quarterbacks in NFL history have averaged more than 40 yards rushing per game. So I think that's an opportunity for him to be successful in that regard. He could lead the position in rushing yards. I don't think that's a stretch. You know, he's probably going to compete with Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson in that category. But again, the value for what he can give you, they may not win many games. He's probably going to turn the ball over quite a bit. He may not have a lot of passing touchdowns. But I think when you look at the total numbers, especially the rushing numbers, put him in the top 12 category if things go right.
Adam, what was the question you asked me about Bo Nix?
Why are people Why is he going later than
we is he the type of quarterback that you're targeting late or that you're settling for late?
Yeah.
Right? That was kind of the genesis of your question.
Mm-hmm.
With Bo Nix, he's the kind of quarterback that I want to settle for if I'm waiting on QB and I want to draft two of them. Willis, I'm fine doing that with, but he's also one that is so intriguing because of that rushing upside and because I don't think he's a zero as a passer. Jamie's right. He's not going to throw a ton of touchdowns. He'll turn the ball over a little bit. I love the film of him throwing last year, and I could see a world where he actually keeps the Dolphins in a bunch of these games and is a awesome fantasy quarterback. I'm gravitating toward taking him as my second quarterback when I've got a stud quarterback, or even when I've got just like a solid starter that I feel good about from the Trevor Lawrence, Patrick Mahomes type tier. And I still get Willis late just in case he starts the year as a better version of what Justin Fields has been when he's had opportunities the past couple of years. And the other point that I want to make about Jordan Mason, I think this is what's going to make people feel even better about taking Jordan Mason as a sleeper. The Vikings are changing their run scheme. They want to do more outside zone. In each of the last 4 years when he's run outside zone, Jordan Mason has averaged at least 4.6 yards per carry, including 3 years, and this is all in San Francisco, 3 years over 5 yards per carry when he's run outside zone. So they're fitting their offensive run game to his strength, and he's come to camp looking a little bit leaner, and the reports have been great. Jamie talked about that. I think that there's a real bull case to be made for Jordan Mason as a tremendous fantasy value.
Yeah, for sure. Round 9, round 10 for Jordan Mason, and he's been a starting running back before. First 7 games of 2024, he was on pace for 311 carries, 1,620 yards, and 7 touchdowns rushing, plus 24 catches for 209 yards. You know, I don't think he's going to be on pace for 311 carries, but you never know. It could be maybe like 272. That'd be a lot. That'd be like Aaron Jones basically having no role. But there's a possibility of that just in terms of carries. So Mason, yeah. And then, Dave, I'll throw it to you for the two sleepers you want to talk about. But if you wouldn't mind making one of them Jacory Kroski-Merritt, because I'd like to compare the two. Who do you guys like better? Jamie, I could just let you go, Jamie, real quick. Who do you like better, Mason or Bill?
Right now it's Bill, but it's a lot of speculation because Ben Standing, who's does a great job covering the team, said that he's been flashing as a pass catcher. If that's going to be a part of his game, then that's going to help him significantly hold off Rashad White. If he's not going to be involved in the passing game, then I think we have a problem. So he doesn't have to become Kenneth Gainwell, you know, for example. He doesn't have to be a 50-catch guy, a 40-catch guy. But I think if he can get to 30 catches and keep him on the field. So that happened late last week or over the weekend. That report came out. And then there was video yesterday of him just really getting abused in some pass protection drills. So you asked me this Sunday night about the Laremy Tunsil injury. Yeah. This could really impact Bill because if they don't have their blindside protector and they don't have somebody that can keep – players off of Jayden Daniels, we're not going to see a lot of Jacory Kroski-Merritt in obvious passing down situations.
I definitely have Merritt ranked too high. Like, I've got him in the round 7 range. I don't think he belongs there. And I've got Jordan Mason in like the round 9-10 range, and I don't think he belongs there. So that gap is definitely going to shrink, but I do have Bill a little, or significantly for now, ahead of Jordan Mason, but it should be much smaller. What I love about Kroski-Merritt is just the opportunity to do a little bit more in the offense, and Jamie just talked about it. This is something that the Commanders have been working on with him since last season ended. They really want him to be, I can't say the feature back, but the 1A, and Rashad White to be the 1B. And we know that just because you play on passing downs doesn't mean, or if you don't play on passing downs, because Kroski-Merritt probably will not play on passing downs, that doesn't mean you're going to be a zero in the passing game. You can still get catches on first and second down. And if he proves to the coaching staff over the next several weeks that he can do that, they're going to use him as such. It's not going to be to the point of 50 catches or anything like that, but it could be in that 30 catch range, just like Jamie talked about. And I'm not certain that he's going to be their goal line guy. White could also fill that role. So I'm a little bit nervous, but at that ADP, to get a running back that's going to at least start, and he appears to be improving in 2/3 of his talent, I don't think his pass protection is going to improve, then yes, I think that's somebody that we can look at with a mid to late round pick as a potential starter for your fantasy squad.
Jacory Kroski-Merritt going 104th in CBS Sports ADP. Jordan Mason going 109th. Remember, all of these guys have ADPs 100 or later, except for This is on CBS, except for Isaiah Likely, who we'll talk about later, who is going 99th on CBS. But we'll let you keep him, Dave. All right, give me one more guy that you like as a sleeper.
Let's just go right to Likely. And this is broken record time for me because I've been talking about him for months now. And there's been no slowing of the drumbeat for him as a primary target for Jackson Dart. In fact, while Malik Nabers is still working his way into game shape, it's been Likely that's been the best pass catcher in Giants camp thus far. And there's been some hiccups with the offense, and hopefully that gets worked out. But I'm encouraged by his opportunity to be the second best pass catcher in this offense. And I've said this before, sorry for repeating, 9 career games where he's had at least 6 targets, 12 and a half PPR points in 8 of the 9 games. And that's really good for a tight end. It's especially good for a tight end that you're going to draft around 100th overall.
Okay. Yeah. Likely or Kelsey, who do you like better?
Likely.
Jamie?
Okay.
Likely or Kittle?
Likely.
It's Likely for now, but it looks like George Kittle could easily leapfrog him if he continues to look good in practice and get off that pup list and be ready for week one.
Yeah.
I would take Likely over Fannin at this point.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'm not there. I'm Likely over Pitts, and that's close. But I've got Fannin ahead of Likely.
Okay. So a few things real quick here. The FFT Open, obviously spots still available there. And if you've already signed up for a league and that league has filled, I think we're going to send out the invites this week. And also, if you go to tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026 and you click on the auction house section, this is exciting stuff. This is where you can bid on spots for the podcast league, for the Superflex podcast league, which is what we call the leftovers league that Heath and I are in. Heath and I share a team, and then we play against 9 other competitors. That's a 10-team Superflex league. The podcast league is a 14-team league that's been going on for like 16 years or something like that. Let's see what else. Oh, we have this new Eliminator League. The rules are in there. I think it's the top half stay on and the bottom 6 are out. But you could, in theory, stay in this league for several years, and then we'll put the other spots up. This is for, you know, St. Jude auction next year. But this is a brand new Eliminator League that at least some of us are in. I know I'm in it. Jamie's in it. Dave, are you in this one?
I don't believe I am.
Okay. Some of us are
in it. I might be. I don't even remember.
You can see the details on the Draftathon website, tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. We have a mock draft tonight at 7 p.m., youtube.com/FantasyFootballToday. Eddie Cook, please send us an email at fantasyfootball@CBSI.com. Got to get you in tonight's mock draft. We don't have an email address for you, so please email me if you hear this.
We don't have one that works.
Yeah, one that works. Eddie, please email me, fantasyfootball@CBSI.com. And that's our email address, by the way, if you want to just send some emails for the show. We got a mailbag show every week. We'll be right back with more sleepers and actually some important news and notes when we come back on Fantasy Football Today.
Creatine is easily one of the most researched supplements on the planet, but I hit a point where I realized just trusting a pretty label wasn't enough. I needed actual verification. That's why I made the switch to Momentous Signature Spec Creatine. Instead of chasing flavor trends, Momentous set a brand new benchmark by producing their creatine in a pharmaceutical facility with reverse osmosis water purification. It undergoes a rigorous 6-stage testing process with 4 independent agencies, guaranteeing 10 times fewer impurities, tighter heavy metal limits, and tests for microplastics and PFAS. For my own routine, having that level of purity is non-negotiable. And the fact that it's an ultra-fine powder that mixes seamlessly with no clumping makes it effortless to take every day for power, recovery, and brain health. If you want to try Momentous Signature Spec Creatine, head to livemomentous.com and use code FFT for up to 35% off your entire first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code FFT for up to 35% off. livemomentous.com, promo code FFT.
We are back. So let's get to the news and notes. And people are buzzing about what Chargers offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel said. He's going to ride the hot hand at running back. He's going to use Amarian Hampton, Kamani Vidal, and Keaton Mitchell probably every game and kind of play the hot hand once you're into games. Jamie, what do you make of that?
What's your job? Fooled you? Don't so. Fall for that, please.
Yeah.
It's just bad. It's just McDaniel being McDaniel. Last year, he said about the Dolphins that they were going to use four running backs. You know, so this is just one of those things where he is. I mean, listen, they're going to use other guys. To what extent he uses Keaton Mitchell and Kamani Vidal remains to be seen. But Omarion Hampton is going to be the majority, get the majority of touches there. So if there's, let's say, 25 running back touches for the game, if you want to be conservative with it, I'm going to guess it's probably 18 for Hampton and then 7 for the other two. So I wouldn't expect too much. It's a reason not to overvalue Keaton Mitchell, because I think a lot of people are excited that he could be, because of the McDaniel posting wanted signs for Mitchell in during free agency. And you've seen a couple of highlights of him catching the ball, that he can maybe be the pass catching back there. I think Hampton's going to certainly play on passing downs and catch the ball on first and second down. And then Vidal clearly did a good job replacing Hampton last year, at least at times. They're not in the same weight class. If Omarion Hampton's healthy, he's going to be a stud and challenged to be a top five fantasy running back. So I think round two is the perfect spot for him.
You agree, Dave?
Yeah. 100%.
Well, wait. Yeah, clearly round two, but I mean, how early in round two?
I've got him as a top 15 pick.
Yeah, he's right in that range. Okay. He is behind, trying to think what number of running back. I think he's running back 8 for me, but yeah, top 15.
I mean, you've got him behind Taylor and McCaffrey, I assume.
Yeah, I have him behind Jenty. I have him behind Cook. I have him behind Chase Brown. I have him behind Ken Walker. That's it.
Okay, and I've got Achane ahead of him. I've got Jenty one spot behind him. If I believed even a little bit of what Mike McDaniel was saying, I would make that switch in a heartbeat, obviously, but I don't believe it. He once told me, and I think it was before last season, that he liked having a bunch of running backs in his running back room that he could trust, and that it really makes sense to have so many that he can put out in the field and just utilize them all. And then we all saw what happened last year. Achane dominated. And so I'm expecting that to be the exact same thing. He talks a lot.
He does, but he has a history of splitting. He split with Mostert and Wilson when they acquired Wilson in a midseason trade. He split Mostert and Achane. It's not like it's never happened before.
That's fine. But those, I would say that, like in the Mostert-Achane example, that was Achane's rookie year, was it not?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so that makes sense to not put too much on one guy in his first season, especially when you've got a solid veteran in Mostert who knows exactly what he's supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. This isn't that.
Okay.
This is a second-year running back in Hampton. He's been out there. He knows what he's doing. And the other two back, it's not like he's got a vet. He doesn't have a Mostert on his depth chart. He's got right. Keaton Mitchell, who's a great air back, and he's got Kamani Vidal, who proved last year that he's a good backup running back.
Okay. All right, good. I'm glad to hear you say that, because I want to believe in Omarion Hampton, and I want to believe in Jahmyr Gibbs, and I'd like to believe in Isaiah Pacheco, but that's getting harder. But Detroit center Cade Mays, free agent signing that they were going to plug in at center, he's going to miss 8 to 10 weeks, according to Ian Rappaport, with a fractured wrist. And Isaiah Pacheco has an MCL sprain, but is expected to be ready for week one. So forget about
that. You might be able to get him for free now in your auction leagues.
This is great news for me. You're right. But with the Cade Mays injury, the center out 8 to 10 weeks, which, you know, might be a little bit more than a month of the season. Does that change anything for Jahmyr Gibbs, Dave?
I'm still taking him at the 101. It's still a great situation where he's a talented running back. They want to get him a lot of work. There's a pathway for him to be the offensive player of the year. And so I don't want to give up on that just because the center is going to miss a portion of the season.
Luther Burden could be back for week one. He has the groin injury. Is he still around 4 pick, or should Luther Burden be around 5 pick, guys?
Round 4.
I moved him down.
J.K. Dobbins left with a soft tissue injury. Sean Payton said that Dobbins will be fine. But Jamie, let's play a hypothetical here and say Dobbins misses time at some point in the season. I know, crazy. But if that does happen, you know, that's when R.J. Harvey became not an every down back, but he got 2/3 of the running back carries. He got enough. He got a decent amount of catches, and he was solid. What do you think happens this year, though, if Dobbins misses time? And by the way, when I say Harvey was solid, he was solid for fantasy. He really struggled as a rusher. What do you think happens this year, Jamie, if Dobbins misses time?
I think Jonah Coleman is probably the rushing downs back, and R.J. Harvey gets a little bit more work in that regard. I don't think we see R.J. Harvey as a primary ball carrier unless both guys are injured, or Coleman really just struggles if given an opportunity. Like you said, Harvey did not perform well as a rusher last year from week 11 on. Week 10 was when Dobbin suffered the foot injury. He was amazing for fantasy because he scored touchdowns and he was getting a lot of work overall, averaging over 15.5 PPR points per game once Dobbins was injured. I think it was like week 12 until week 17 because week 11 was not great for him. So I still think Harvey benefits the most if Dobbins is out, but I don't think we get that type of performance because we may not get those goal line touches or those touchdown opportunities just across the board. So it's just tough to trust Harvey. You know, he was so good for fantasy managers in the fantasy playoffs because of those chances. I just don't think that's the same. I think that's why they drafted Jonah Coleman.
RJ Harvey, so his explosive play rate, carries of 12 or more yards, was 2.7% last year, which was second lowest among 49 running backs with 100 or more carries, ahead of only Chuba Hubbard. But it is the worst explosive play rate for any rookie running back in the last 12 seasons. And the only running back who was really bad at that in the last 12 seasons and ended up being good was Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey was at 3.4%, and Harvey was at 2.7%. All of this is to say he had a really bad year as a rusher. McCaffrey, meanwhile, missed practice with tightness. I don't think anyone's worried about that. He's going to miss practice every week.
Here, this year. This was 2024. That was tightness. Oh, yeah, he'll be ready for week one. If we had a game tomorrow, well, he'll be playing. Kyle Shanahan said that.
Yeah, so, but that was Achilles tendonitis, wasn't it?
It was tightness in his calf.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Achilles tendonitis for him. Could be wrong.
That's what it ended up being. I don't know if that's what they called it in 24.
At the start, it's troubling. You don't want to see this. You don't want to see what he is and what he's capable of doing and dealing with injuries, because every time he's had 400 plus touches, he's been hurt the following year. And so let's not go down this path again. Let's see him play. Let's see him be the guy he's capable of being. But this is why we're saying we're concerned, because 30 years old now, coming off 450 touches, the most he's ever had. And here we go.
Okay.
If this is a one-day thing or even a three-day thing, I'm not worried. But if it lingers, it's pretty obvious if it lingers what you do. That's his draft stock if he's out a week with tightness. What are they covering for? What is the tightness?
Yeah.
You saw what they did, right, yesterday?
What do you mean what they did?
So they
– Did they move away from the electrical substation? Because that's what I want to see.
No Jordan James right now dealing with the rib injury. No Kalen Black, who's still banged up. No Isaac Garendo, who's still dealing with the pectoral injury. Debo Samuel was playing running back for them, and they worked out Zamir White and Nyheim Hines. Like, this team could be very, very bad right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. The Patriots signed Hunter Henry to a two-year, $60 million extension. $16 million, not 60. Dallas signed defensive tackle Quinnen Williams to a three-year, $106 million extension. Signed now through 2030. Running backs averaged 4.4 yards per carry against the Cowboys in games that Williams played, 4.8 yards per carry in games he did not play. And I mentioned earlier, Alec Pierce had a second PRP injection in his ankle. So, Josh Downs or Alec Pierce?
Oh, Downs.
It's got to be Downs.
Okay. There was a good story on ESPN. Two of their writers, Solak and Fowler, they went to a bunch of different training camps, and they had a lot of reporting from there. But you know what? This is a sleeper show. So let's do some more sleepers, and I'll finish up with the...
There's a sleeper in those notes that I particularly like and even suggested.
Who's that?
Rashid Shaheed.
Mm-hmm. Rashid Shaheed was mentioned. Adonai Mitchell was mentioned. Jalen Naylor. And Trey Tucker was really more mentioned than Jalen Naylor. Dontavian Wicks was mentioned. Denzel Boston was mentioned. Mm-hmm. So I'll go over that in a little bit. All right, Dave, your sleepers that you provided, these are not your full list of sleepers, but Patrick Mahomes, Jonathan Brooks, Josh Downs, Isaiah Likely, Bo Nix, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, and Casey Concepcion. So I think we've covered Likely and Nix and Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. Fair?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you about Mahomes. Same question I asked you about Bo Nix. Is this a guy you target as a late round sleeper, or, you know, round 9-ish?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And obviously my philosophy on drafting a quarterback this year is you've got to feel like you're stealing one. And I don't know if there's a better feeling of stealing a quarterback than getting a former multi-time NFL MVP with a pick in round 9 or 10. And I'm impressed that he seems to be fine from the ACL injury. I like the offensive line. I love what the run game addition of Kenneth Walker, what that means for the offense and what it should mean for how defenses adjust to taking on Kansas City. I know that he doesn't have a Tyreek Hill in his offense anymore, but he's put up huge numbers before without Tyreek Hill in his offense. And he did it last year, for crying out loud, before he got hurt. He had 28.1 fantasy points and 6 points in his first six games without Rice. And that went up to 28.8 in his first eight games. Week nine on, he stunk, but I think we can all look and see that he's got potential. Why would you pass up on somebody like this? I feel a little dirty. Why did I pronounce the T like that, Adam? That was weird. I feel a little dirty. Suggesting that Mahomes is a sleeper because he's got so much potential to finish as a top five guy. But if, what the hell, man, if we're getting him in round nine or round 10, let's call it what it is, a tremendous value.
Okay. Would you rather have Jared Goff or Patrick Mahomes?
Mahomey.
Goff.
Okay. Jonathan Brooks going 105th overall. What do you think that ADP is going to settle as the reports continue to come out on him?
If we get even one preseason highlight of Jonathan Brooks making a play, it's going to move to round seven. And I think I'd still be okay taking the chance on Jonathan Brooks in round seven, if it comes to that, because these are all players. The whole point of a sleeper is you're getting a player at one value on draft day, and he turns out to be better than that. And the entire operation of a draft is get the best players you can and hope that you get guys that outperform where you draft them. And from round seven on, my goal every year is to get just one player that is better than where I draft him. And Brooks can easily be that guy. So if the reports are true and he's looking like his old self in camp and he's added muscle, he looks a little bit stronger. We know that he can be a factor in the passing game. We know Chuba Hubbard is just okay. And we saw last year, you have to go back and look to remember it, but when Rico Dowdle came on, the Panthers coaching staff did give Dowdle more work all the way up until the playoff game. And then Chuba started to get more work than Dowdle did. So they like Chuba. They want Chuba on the team, but they're willing to put him in a complimentary role. And so if Brooks is going to be good, he's going to be potentially awesome for fantasy managers. He can help the Panthers. I don't love their offensive line, really their offensive tackles, but that's just going to help him get more catches out of the backfield because that's one way that an offense can work around having mediocre tackles. And so getting him, where do I have him right now? Like a round eight pick. If it ends up being round seven, I guess I'd be okay with that, but there's potential for him to finish as a top 20 running back, if not higher, provided that he stays healthy for the whole season.
That is Jonathan Brooks we're talking about. By the way, over the last nine seasons, there have been 16 running backs, almost two per year, that have been drafted in round seven or later and finished top 12. So that's pretty cool. Travis Etienne was one of those guys last year, although that kind of bothers me because his ADP was so influenced by the Tank Bigsby trade. But Javonte Williams was definitely one. It was just a great discount last year. So I don't know if we have that guy. Like Javonte Williams was so clearly the best option, I think, for the Cowboys. Maybe we didn't know it at the time. I don't know if we have that guy. Maybe it's Mason.
You didn't
maybe
buy Miles Sanders? Come on.
Maybe it's Mason. Maybe it's Jacory Kroski-Merritt. Maybe it's Jonathan Brooks.
A running back that's going late that could be a top 20 guy?
Top 12.
Top 12?
Like Javonte and Etienne or Achan.
I mean, Mason could be that. Maybe Pollard.
His ADP is higher than that, isn't it?
Oh, you're saying around 100?
No, it's round seven or later was mine. So round seven is what? Pick 84? 85?
I don't think we get...
That's where round seven ends.
Oh, that's where it ends. Sorry. So that's...
Right.
I don't think we get... 72.
73.
Quite that high?
No, I mean, look... It's always surprising. I liked Javonte Williams last year. I didn't think he was going to be top 12 running back. You know, it's hard to predict. But
he stayed healthy and he scored a lot of touchdowns.
Who could run away with their backfield on a good offense?
Without an injury?
Yeah.
That's being taken after 73rd overall?
Mm-hmm.
Without an injury.
Where's Dowdle and Warren?
They're in that range.
They're definitely in that range, and Dowdle appears to be the 1A there, but I think he's going to need Jalen Warren to miss time for him to really run away with it. I think Brooks is a candidate. I really do. After what we saw last year when Dowdle ended up being.
And the year before with Hubbard.
Yeah, sure. That's a great call. So I think Brooks can be that guy. I'm nervous to say Travion can be that guy, especially since the training camp reports haven't been so good.
Travion's a round five pick.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. But if he falls to round seven, I don't know. I don't even know if I can even say it.
It could be Tootin if he falls after the latest report.
Sure, yeah.
Could be Tootin. Why couldn't it be Chris Rodriguez?
Be pretty hard to see him just taking over that backfield without an injury. That's, I think, the difference between, you know, a Bajal Tootin. Because right now, sorry, this is a little bit of a detour. There may not be that much of a difference between Bajal Tootin and a guy like Blake Corum. I mean, their roles are seemingly different, but you could see their stats being similar. But Tootin, I think, and everybody probably thinks, has a chance to just be so much better than Chris Rodriguez, where he just gains a bigger role as the season goes on. It's not going to happen for Blake Corum. Kyren Williams is so good. But it's, yeah, I'm really struggling with Tootin because I like him a lot, but it's possible that he's just a waste.
Is he Tony Pollard?
Exactly.
Where he gets you over 1,000 total yards. He plays a lot every week. He doesn't score a ton of touchdowns. End of the year, it's 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's Tony Pollard.
And Dave, let me just read, or Jamie, whatever, whoever brought up the Steelers, guys. Let me just read what the ESPN training camp report was. It was, quote, "I can't get a lean on Jalen Warren and Rico Dowdle, but I'm confident both will be used enough to be playable in any given week. Dowdle is a more than capable receiving back, and I think he'll bite into Warren's catches more than most people realize. Warren is a spectacular tackle breaker, and I think he'll bite into Dowdle's carries more than most people realize." And this was a fantasy nugget from, I'm not sure which of the reporters was there, but.
Well, is it an ESPN beat reporter?
That would be Brooke. No, Pryor. It was either Jeremy Fowler or Benjamin Solak.
See.
Sorry, I don't know which one that was.
Because usually Brooke's on top of stuff for the Steelers.
All right, Dave, let's
finish up. There have been non-ESPN beat reporters all over Steelers camp that have said that Dowdle looks like the better option at this point.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I have Dowdle. You should have Dowdle ahead of Warren in your rankings, even in full PPR.
I'll still take Warren.
Okay. That'll be fun to watch and see how that one turns out.
Yeah, I just think he's going to get more opportunities in the passing game, and I think that matters.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else? Oh, yeah, Casey Concepcion and Josh Downs. Let's talk about them. I want to establish what our expectations are for Josh Downs, since we've come off very high on him. Just how high are we? Dave, compare him to Casey Concepcion. How do you like those guys?
I think they're both I think they both have a similar role in each of their respective offenses. They'll play in the slot quite a bit. They'll work the middle of the field quite a bit. I think that they're both after catch receivers. They've got good speed. They can make guys miss. So they're very similar. Downs is ranked higher because he's done it before. We're 2 years removed from him averaging over 13 PPR points per game on 7.6 targets per game. I have a little bit of a hard time believing he's going to get that many targets per game, but let's flip those numbers. If it's 6.7, I can buy into that. It could be 7.6 for however many games Alec Pierce misses, by the way. So the longer that Pierce is out, the better that it is for both Downs and Tyler Warren. So in full PPR, it's really easy to believe in Downs. With Concepcion, there's a pathway for him to get 7 targets per game. I love what I've been reading about him and Denzel Boston. I especially like the fact that Concepcion took a big hit in practice, like maybe 7 days ago, and he walked off holding his arm. It looked like he had a big shoulder injury, was right back out there days later doing his thing. And so I think there's room for Boston to get some good numbers. I think there's room for Fannin to get some very good numbers. And I think Concepcion can also get very good numbers, particularly in full PPR, because I think he can get 7 targets per game. And in the case of Cleveland, especially, that's an offense that I expect to either be in close games or trailing. And that should help the target volume just go up for everybody across the board.
I'm going to throw out some names and numbers for you here. Justin Jefferson as a rookie was drafted 125th overall in fantasy. Was wide receiver 10 per game. Chase Claypool was drafted 200.
Was he better than Peyton Barber? I forget.
not at first. Chase Claypool, 236th in ADP, wide receiver 32 per game. CeeDee Lamb, these are all these guys, I'm not going to say where they all went. They were all after pick 100. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 35 per game. Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver 19 per game as a rookie. Jaylen Waddle, wide receiver 14 per game. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 26th per game. Garrett Wilson, 31st per game. Olave, 27th per game. Again, all of these guys, rookies being drafted after pick 100. Puka Nacua, Tank Dell, Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey. Those guys all smashed their ADP as rookies. Last year was the first time in 5 years, or 6 years, I think, that we didn't have at least two rookie wide receivers picked after pick 100 that finished either top 24 overall or per game. Will we get back to that this year? I don't really see it, but I think Concepcion is probably the best bet. I don't know. I would guess so. I don't think there's a rookie wide receiver.
I think he's the best bet, and I think Boston is a pretty good bet to get north of six targets per game, and I wouldn't be surprised if Boston ended with more touchdowns than Concepcion.
I just don't see
I would agree with that. My biggest concern is, first and foremost, the quarterback, because I think both guys have looked terrible so far in camp, and it's the one of the worst quarterback battles that maybe we've seen in the last 10 years, you know, just how poorly these guys have performed. It's going to be a very slow-paced offense. I think there's a lot of moving parts to this offense. The concern I have is if Concepcion's going to play inside, which I think makes some sense, if they're going to try and put Boston on the field, because I think Judy's going to be either the X or the Z, we could have a problem of him just sharing the field space with Fannin, which is why I'm a little bit concerned about Fannin. And so if this was a more capable quarterback, I would be like, oh, wow, this is awesome. These guys are fantastic. Look how great these guys could be. If Judy's the fourth, like, let's go. But it just feels icky. So it's a good call. I mean, where you're getting him, the upside is worth the risk.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just, like, I do see the potential of what Boston could be, because what Watson will still probably do well is, oh, bleep, chuck it downfield. Like that says he's not.
But that's if Watson's the quarterback. What if it's Shador?
And if it's not Watson, then I think that helps Fannin and maybe helps Concepcion. But like this just feels icky across the board, you know? So like you're saying, which rookie receivers can come out of nowhere, right? Is that basically
the concept? Well, so it's picked after pick 100,
right? So
24. And by the way, Jamie, I have to say, just did an ADP check. Mekhi Lemon is now in this range. He is going.
Yeah. I mean, that's
the injury.
That's one I would probably bank on more if he's healthy.
Yeah.
The type of guy I think that you may find is not necessarily because of talent, because I think Concepcion clearly is more talented, but like that could be a Caleb Douglas. That could be a Cyrus Allen. That could be a Jacoby Lane because of touchdowns. Like those Zachariah Branch, you know, just because
Stripling,
of how many
maybe?
Targets he may get.
Yeah. Stripling needs to be mentioned here. Sure.
Stripling. Yeah. Another great one. You know, like those are the type of guys I think like I'd rather, if I'm going to gamble on that premise, I might gamble on like who's got a better quarterback and better system.
Yeah, I get that. And unfortunately, when you look at history of like, okay, who emerged from this group? I mean, most of the names we read are first round or early second round picks, but not all of them. I mean, not Amon-Ra St. Brown, not Puka Nacua, not Tank Dell. I don't know that there's a common thread here. Some of them really benefited from injuries. It's just,
there's two common threads. Number one is target volume.
Yeah.
And number two is, and I don't know if this really applies to Puka, but speed. Just think about these guys are very shifty and they've got speed on their side and they're getting a ton of targets. And when that combines with the opportunity, that's the other thing that they all got. And this plays into other guys being hurt and opening up opportunities. That matters a ton. And so here we are in Cleveland. We're talking about the best wide receiver that Cleveland has that isn't a rookie being Jerry Jeudy, who's disappointed us pretty much every year, save for one, maybe two. And then Harold Fannin, who's a great middle of the field option, going to be a trustworthy guy on third downs and in the red zone for Cleveland, especially if Shadur is the quarterback. Other than that, there's opportunity for both Concepcion and Boston. Concepcion's the one with speed and shiftiness.
Yeah, I know. It's just, I just struggle because I think they're going to try to run the ball a lot. I think that should be the strength of their offense, and their quarterbacks suck. And between Fannin, Concepcion and Boston, I don't know that anyone's getting more than like 110 target. I'm probably someone will, but I don't know.
No, I'm with you. I don't think it's more than that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. Concepcion is so talented and so exciting. So I do think it's worth the risk, But you just, you know, you never know. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, I want you to take a look at this tweet from Heath Cummings. It just cracks me up, the hate in this man's heart. What am I talking about? I'm just joking. But we'll tell you after this, and then we'll get to Jamie's sleepers on Fantasy Football Today.
My companion for this summer season has been ZBiotics. Let me tell you why. Just headed out to a concert at Pier 17. Houndmouth, what a show. I got home at 3 a.m. and I realized 8 a.m. tea time. What am I going to do? I got a big match. No worries at all. I took ZBiotics the night before, had a few drinks, woke up the next day like nothing happened, got to that course at 7 a.m., warmed up, and won my match. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to break down acetaldehyde, a byproduct of drinking alcohol. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme that is designed to break down this byproduct. Make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and enjoy your next day activities. ZBiotics has sold more than 14 million bottles and earned the trust of thousands, including us. Try for yourself today, and if you are unsatisfied, they will refund your entire order, no questions asked. Head to ZBiotics.com/FFT. Code FFT for 15% off your first order.
All right, let me show you this. This just cracks me up. PFF tweets, Patrick Mahomes with 17 has more career playoff wins than Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson combined. Heath has to dunk on the Chargers, and he says, you could throw Justin Herbert, 0 playoff wins in there as well. Heath, you are making me a Chargers fan this year.
He knows what's coming. He knows that the Chargers are going to be really good.
I don't know if he knows that.
Yes, he does.
I think he feels like as long as Mahomes is healthy, the Chiefs are going to be the Chiefs and they're just going to win the division, no problem. That's
not really a crazy thought, Adam.
Yeah, Heath always mentions this like bold prediction I made months ago, but it's basically the Chiefs struggle again offensively. Andy Reid's out and things change after this year.
Wow.
Yeah. I just don't really like their personnel on them. I like it a lot more with Walker now, a lot more.
Yeah.
Good line, good running back, great quarterback. Jamie, your sleepers. Jordan Mason, Jaden Reed, Jalen Coker, Jalen Naylor. Those are the Jays. Tyler Shuck and Malik Willis. Thankfully, we've talked about a number of these guys. Let's talk about Jalen Coker and Jalen Naylor. Which Jalen do you prefer?
Jalen Coker.
Okay. What do you expect from Coker and Naylor?
I mean, the two somewhat different profiles, fantasy-wise at least. You know, for Coker, you mentioned it, the last five games of the season last year, including the playoffs, he averaged over 14 PPR points per game. Tedrell and McMillan, who's going significantly earlier than him, and this is not to make the comparison, aside from just what they did at the end of the season, averaged 9.8 PPR points per game over that span. The targets were essentially equal, 6.2 per game for Tedrell and McMillan, 6 per game for Coker. So I think you're hoping that Coker, who missed the beginning portion of last year, then had a ramp-up period, as we often see for guys coming off of injury during the year, by the time he was healthy, he was a big piece of this offense, and I think that carries over to this year. I think the fact that Brazel is hurt and the fact that now Xavier Leggett also banged up again, but he's going to most likely still be the third receiver. You kind of see an opportunity for McMillan and Coker to get funnel targets. So don't love that the tackles are not healthy for the Panthers going in, because I think that impacts Bryce Young even more. But just where the cost is for Jalen Coker, it's easy to gravitate toward him because when he's gotten chances, he's been productive. And so hopefully that's the case once again. So I don't want to draft him as a starter. I think if you're running back heavy, this is the perfect guy to make your fourth receiver. You know, somebody that could be in the flex range for you or your first reserve in a three receiver league. If you're receiver heavy, I think you want him as maybe your fifth and a guy that can work into your starting three and maybe a flex. But this is one of those guys that I think at the end of your bench or, you know, part of your bench can make it tough for you when you look at your starting lineup on a week to week basis, because if he is getting opportunities, I think he'll produce.
Okay. And then what about in Las Vegas with Naylor? I don't know if you do, but why do you, I assume, settle on Naylor over Trey Tucker? Let me just read what ESPN said about that. The Raiders think Jalen Naylor has more to offer than what he showed in Minnesota, but Trey Tucker is probably the player Las Vegas says can take the biggest step forward this season. So how do you break down their wide receivers?
Yeah, it's interesting because I believe Albert Breer, when he was in Las Vegas, was saying that Jalen Naylor was the one that was looking like their best option of the receiving corps. So my guess is just based on how these guys are going to perform and throw Jack Besh in there, is that it's going to be a very mixed bag throughout the season because none of them have a very none of them have a resume that's worth, you know, holding your hat on. For Naylor, he had four games last year with at least five targets, and two of them he had 19.5 PPR points per game. That was in that miserable offensive environment. Obviously, this is a situation where they're looking at it as a blank canvas because Tucker did some nice things initially after Brock Bowers had the knee injury in week one. So like weeks two through six, I think it was, he was performing well. And then when Bowers started to get more involved, you know, we had the Jacoby Myers traits that kind of threw everything into a little bit of a disarray, and the quarterback play was awful. I don't think Tucker really took advantage of the situation. So it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I keep referencing the flex draft that I did last week. I took both of them. There were two of my last four picks, you know, so Jalen Naylor and Trey Tucker, you know, the probably the cheapest friendship strategy you could find. Maybe the Dolphins guys are up there also if you want to take Caleb Douglas and Malik Washington. But see which one performs well. See which one's getting targets. See which one has the initial report, because it's going to be Kirk Cousins to start the season. That maybe changes when Mendoza takes over. But we keep saying Brock Bowers is going to get fed. Somebody else is going to be number two, you know, and I think Jalen Naylor has the most upside of the group based on what they paid him, and hopefully money talks here in this case. So again, not somebody I want to invest heavily in, but when we are talking about late round flyers, it's easy to gravitate toward one of the Raiders receivers, similar to one of the Dolphins receivers, because somebody's going to get chances and hopefully produces with them.
Dave, do you have a preference of a Las Vegas wide receiver?
I'd prefer to pass on both. But if I had to pick one, it would be Naylor. I didn't mind his film. I thought he's got good hands, good balance. He can win in tight spaces. I thought last year especially, he was the byproduct of the scheme that he was in. And the scheme that he's in this year is very similar to the scheme that he's been in his entire career. So I could very easily see him have six targets per game and have a bunch of games where he catches three passes for 70 yards and a touchdown, but he could also have a bunch of games where he catches four passes for 50 yards and no touchdown. Tucker is being exposed to this scheme, I think, the second time in his career. And he's just more of like a downfield guy. I don't know if they're going to change his role all around, but I feel like I can find other players in the late rounds to carry on my bench ahead of both of these guys, because I'm just worried about what the upside really is. If Bowers is going to get north of seven targets per game, if Genty's going to get three or four targets per game, plus they're going to run the ball a lot, it makes me nervous about just how much will be there for Naylor or Tucker. I think I'm going to let other people draft them. That being said, if you're in a draft like the flex draft, there's deep benches, go ahead and take your shot on either one of them, but Naylor would be the one I would gravitate toward.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, if you just look at ADP, you could probably make a case for so many of the wide receivers going in this range. And we're about to. I guess the question is, what are the factors when you're sizing up Jalen Naylor versus Romeo Doubs and Matthew Golden and Xavier Worthy and Casey Concepcion? And what are the factors, Jamie, that makes you lean toward one wide receiver in this late round ADP versus another?
Quarterback and opportunity. You know, so the opportunity for the Raiders guys is amazing. You know, again, like Bowers, if he gets 140 targets, there's still probably 100 targets for one of these receivers. So do you trust Kubiak? Do you trust Cousins? Do you trust Mendoza? You know, and then that starts to compare to Matthew Golden, who's a first round talent and, you know, seemingly going to be on the field a lot. And Jordan Love, if he throws enough, you know, that's always been the knock for the Packers guys. So I would take a chance on Golden before I would take a chance on Naylor at this point. Now, yes. Doubs is an interesting one because, you know, he kind of had this golden opportunity that got quickly squashed with the AJ Brown trade. And does he kind of just stay in the same spot that he's been in, which is, you know, good quarterback? Because I think you can make the case if Drake May and Jordan Love threw the ball the same, we might get some great production out of Jordan Love. We just don't get that. Does he get to 120 targets where he's kind of just been pegged in that 100 target range? So I think that's an even one for me. If there was more, Jalen Naylor's the guy, I think it would be easy to take him. So Doubs is going to most likely go first. You know, you look at any ADP, the difference is somewhat startling. Rank lists are a little different, but the ADP tells you most people would take Doubs. Who else did you mention?
Concepcion.
Oh, Worthy. Yeah, I mean, Worthy's like a poor man's Golden. You know, so similar situation. First round pick, clearly good quarterback. You know, you hope that he can perform like he did in his rookie campaign. I think, like, for Naylor, a better conversation is more the rookies that I mentioned. You know, so, and Dave threw a great one to Stribling. You know, so Stribling and Caleb Douglas and Zachariah Branch. You know, if you still believe in Antonio Williams after the dig signing. Jacoby Lane, you know, Cyrus Allen, you know, these guys that are going to have some chances, in most cases, they're going to be the number two or the number three guy at best. I think you're looking at it, that's a good comp, because if Naylor is the Raiders receiver you prefer, or if Tucker is the Raiders receiver you prefer, they'll probably get more targets, but the talent is just not the same.
I want to add one other name to this Raiders list, and this is one of the problems with Naylor and Trey Tucker. There's been a lot of buzz in Las Vegas about a rookie named Malik Benson, who is a little bit bigger than Naylor, and certainly then he's bigger than Trey Tucker, but he's been making plays and finding time with the starters. He went to Alabama, then Florida State, and then finished at Oregon, and sixth-round pick, so these cases are rare when they end up being impactful for fantasy. This is more for people in dynasty leagues. Double check to make sure that Malik Benson is on your waiver wire. And if he is, pick him up, because there's an opportunity for him to take a couple of targets away from all the other wide receivers in Las Vegas. And it, to me, it's just another strike against Naylor or Tucker being ahead of the range that Jamie talked about. The range that Jamie's talking about with all those other wide receivers, to me, that's like round 13 plus. And Naylor's ADP is right around there. I think that that's fair. And if you're looking for a wide receiver that late in your draft, then so be it. That's usually around the time where I'm trying to find that second tight end, that diamond in the rough at running back, a second QB. Okay. That's not when I'm looking for another bench wide receiver.
Okay, let's finish up one more sleeper for Jamie here. Malik Willis was one of your sleepers that you talked about earlier, but Tyler Shuck is another one. Shuck averaged 7.6 yards per attempt in his 9 starts last year. Only 19.3 fantasy points per game because his touchdown rate was pretty low, but it was really impressive. And what do you like about Tyler Shuck?
A couple things. First off, you know, 20.1 fantasy points per game, 6 of his final 8 games. His coordinator has a great track record with the quarterbacks that he's worked with, and it's a pretty impressive resume when you're talking about Dak Prescott and 1 year of Justin Herbert and 1 year of Jalen Hurts. All those guys scored more than 20 fantasy points per game in the years with Kellen Moore. They averaged 24 points per game during his time as a coordinator there. So he gets 20 plus points per game regularly from his quarterback who starts the majority of the time. They just add a first-round rookie in Jordan Tyson. I think a guy that gets a little bit overlooked, not necessarily what he's going to do on his own, but just another weapon, and Oscar Delp. So another tight end that's going to factor in there. But Kellen Moore's scheme is typically great for quarterbacks. And then we'll see if he continues to run like we saw at the end of last season. So that was a fun little wrinkle to Tyler Shuck's game. So if he can do that, then we're going to add that element. And if he can get you maybe 300, 400 yards rushing, other projections on Sportsline, if you're watching on YouTube, 327, I think that's fair. This could be a fun late round quarterback. So very similar to Malik Willis. You know, I think Dave gave some good names. You know, like, so if you are going to invest in Patrick Mahomes, which is risky, Bo Nix, which is risky, Jared Goff, and, you know, just maybe the limited ceiling, you know, those type of guys, if you just wait on the position, I think you get an opportunity here to take a Tyler Shuck, to take a Malik Willis, guys that have just huge upsides, but very questionable floors because of either lack of a track record or, you know, in the case of Willis, you know, just maybe a terrible offensive environment. But Shuck was fun last year, and I think he could be a good low-end starter, you know, one of these guys that by the end of the year we say, oh, I wish I would have taken a chance on him, and he could end up being one of those top 12 guys by the end of the year.
A lot of team name possibilities with Tyler Shuck as well. All Shucks, obviously. but, you know, you get creative with it. Rapid fire, or let's call this the lightning round of sleepers. How likely are you to draft these guys? Dalton Kincaid.
What's the ADP?
I mean, these are all pretty late, you know, let's say later than round 10.
If you take two tight ends, he's a good second one to gravitate toward.
Agreed. Don't like his matchup against Houston in week 1, though.
That's a good point.
So he better be your second tight end.
Yeah, he's going 130th. Next up is Matthew Golden.
Similar to Jalen Naylor. Good late run flyer.
I think you'll go ahead of Naylor. And I'm starting to like what I'm hearing out of Green Bay for all of their receivers.
Tyrone Tracy Jr.
Did I draft Cam Scadaboo?
Don't care. I'll take him anyway.
You should want to take him anyway, but if I drafted Scadaboo, I might have to reach a little for Tracy. It sounds like he's going to be the 1B. That's exactly what we thought he was going to be, and he's absolutely worth using a bench spot on.
By the way, you briefly mentioned Jaden Reed. Just one thing that I like is because he's missed a lot of time. 23 games in his career with at least 5 targets, 13.5 PPR points per game, and 15 of those. So when he gets opportunities, he produces.
That's my fault. Sorry, I skipped him. Rashid Shaheed.
Love him late.
I would rather have Naylor in that regard, but hopefully Shaheed performs much better than he did last year with the Seahawks.
I'm starting to warm up to him over the Raiders, guys.
Chris Rodriguez.
Yes.
He's a round 10 pick, kind of in that same vein as Tyrone Tracy.
And he's, I guess not going that much later. He's going around 11, but probably being overlooked right now, Chris Rodriguez. Denzel,
not for long.
Yeah, Denzel Boston. Tank Dell.
Also the round 10 range. I'd rather have Concepcion. I would take Boston over the Raiders receivers. Would take him over Lemon at this point. Would take him over Shaheed, Dobbs, and a bunch of the backup QBs. Just to take the chance on a perimeter.
They said it best earlier with the Concepcion. Like, I am back-to-back. I think Boston's going to score the most touchdowns in this receiving corps.
But it might be by like one. It might be 6 touchdowns for Boston, 5 for Concepcion.
I hope it's not 3-2.
Tank Dell's the only player on this list of late round sleepers that we're going to talk about other than James Conner. Tank Dell's the only one who's been, you know, awesome at any point for a full season or, you know, a season of awesomeness. Would you rather have Tank Dell or a Raiders or Browns receiver?
The more that Dell continues to practice without issues, he's going to be a pretty significant riser.
Agreed. He's behind both Raiders receivers for now, but you could see that changing. The problem is opportunities in quarterback. His quarterback, CJ Stroud, we're not huge fans of his. It's not like he's getting glowing reports. And Nico Collins is there. Jaden Higgins is another guy who should be mentioned as a possible sleeper. He's had a great camp for Houston. Mm-hmm. So how many guys can CJ Stroud truly support in the passing game? I think the answer is one.
I'm hoping
it's Nico.
I'm hoping it's just one. Jonah Coleman, running back for the Broncos, rookie running back. We already talked about what Jamie's expectations are if J.K. Dobbins misses time. James
double Connor, digit rounds, love him.
James Conner, if he gets traded, that could be, you know, if you get him now, that could be big.
There's two players who you're drafting with your last pick just in case they get traded. Conner's one, and Kayshon Booty is the other. Okay. And I think there's a better chance for Booty to get traded than Conner. But if you get them both now and see what happens before week one, you'll have a pretty easy decision to make once week one comes around. You might be cutting Connor and Booty. They might be a waste of a pick. But if they end up in better situations, you've got yourself a steal.
Adonai Mitchell's having a nice camp. A lot of talk about him for the Jets. Malik Washington, is he the Dolphins receiver you'd pick right now?
No.
Yes.
Who would you pick, Jamie?
Douglas.
Greg Dulcich, is he the Dolphins tight end you'd pick? Yeah. And then
is Dulcich ahead of Douglas for you?
No, Douglas ahead of Dulcich.
Okay. I like Washington the best, especially in PPR.
Couple potential handcuffs, Kalon Black and Marshawn Lloyd. Who do you think, who's a better pick? Black for the Niners or Lloyd for the Packers?
Lloyd for me over the 49ers guys.
For two reasons. Number one, he's practicing. And number two, something happens to Jacobs, which is still within the realm of possibility. Yeah. This is who's going to replace him.
Yeah.
At least to begin the year.
Oh, it's so frustrating. He has done nothing in his two seasons.
He's barely played. He's barely been healthy.
No, and he's on my stinking dynasty team, and I kind of want to drop him for someone, but I don't think I can.
You're just helping your opponents.
Yeah, I know. It's just, he was actually my second favorite running back in that class, behind Jonathan Brooks. And neither of them have done anything, unfortunately. And then my third favorite, if I'm guessing, was probably Trey Benson. It was a really bad class.
Another guy who could get traded too.
We knew it at the time, yeah. Benson, true. I still think, I mean, when he had like a brief run, it was like one or two games. I think it was one game. He came through. James Conner got hurt, and then Benson got hurt and missed the rest of the season. I still would love to see opportunities for him.
Yeah.
All right, so the ESPN training camp reports.
One other guy, by the way, I'd throw on there is Ray Davis.
Yes.
Easy late-round pick, and if something happens to James Cook, could be a stud.
If you get James Cook, you have to get Davis. Just like if you get Scadaboo, you should. I shouldn't say you have to, but you should make a plan to get
or just take them guy. Anyway, because they could be great.
And take Emmett Johnson for Kansas City and Mike Washington for the Raiders. Washington especially. It seems like he's clearly the number two guy. All right, so those training camp reports from ESPN. Rashid Shaheed could be a major factor, should be a major factor. I think that was Jeremy Fowler, who also said that the Seahawks will have 2 to 3 running backs involved in the game plan, but Mike McDonald is impressed with Jadarian Price. The Raiders don't have a set date for Fernando Mendoza's debut. Ashton Jeanty could be an even bigger part of the passing game this season than he was last season when he had 55 catches.
Easy first-round pick at this point.
They said keep an eye on Adonai Mitchell. I read you what they said about the Steelers running backs. Another report about Dontavian Wicks being good, and he should be a big factor in the passing game for the Eagles. Denzel Boston has looked very impressive, and this was a quote, "The Cowboys like second-year running back Jadon Blue, but I don't think he's a threat to Javonte Williams' workload." And that is it for our show. So mock draft tonight at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday.
Can we hear from Eddie?
Not yet. And breakouts tomorrow. Talk to you then. Have a great day, everybody. See ya.
Paramount Podcasts.